miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen, and you're listening to a show that hopefully will help you take control of your health and change it for the better. We've talked a little bit about some of the stories, and my favorite one, of course, is the bacteria that you eat, that is, the food that you eat, is caused by the bacteria inside you. That is, they have preferences for food and send out signals that get you to eat them. So, for example, if you've got a bacteria, such as people in Japan do, that loves seaweed, it tells you, eat seaweed, eat seaweed, eat seaweed. It sends out some signal that gets you so that you will eat seaweed. Well, possibly one of the keys then for your health and ours and for everybody's health is, in fact, learning how to train the bacteria inside you. I say do a journal. Find out what probiotic gets you to eat what you feel the best with the next day or the next 2 days or those 3 days. Look at your food journal and then say, hey, this is the food I want. These are the bacteria I want. And maybe I'll keep feeding them because I feel great with it. Bridget, ramen noodles is not something that can make you feel great, apparently. Ramen noodles is in the week this week, and I stopped eating them in about 1994. They're really easy to eat at lunch. You'd just heat up some water and add them to these cup of soup or whatever it was that had a lot of ramen noodles. And then I found out, when I read the label carefully, that they were drained with saturated fat, and they were dried with saturated fat. So they're basically simple sugar and saturated fat combined, two of those addictive foods. And now we know they do something else. What's the article this week?
Yeah, so it turns out that the instant noodles are a diet nightmare. So researchers looked at over 10,000 adults, and they broke down the diets into two different types of diets, a traditional diet, which included fish, rice, and vegetables, and then the second group were more of meat eaters and fast food. So it's really interesting because they tried to see whether their diets had any influence on or were associated with metabolic syndrome. And they found that neither of the two diets had any association. They weren't able to prove an association in any of the men or women, but they were specifically able to identify an association with the women who ate instant noodles in the meat and processed foods group at least twice a week. These women that had the instant noodles were 68% more likely to have metabolic syndrome compared to those who didn't. And they weren't able to see an effect in men. So they're not really sure exactly why the women, maybe because the women were reporting their diet more accurately than the men, and that's why they saw an association. But I think that it's very eye-opening that the women that ate the noodles twice a week had a 68% increased risk of metabolic syndrome, and builds on the evidence of why we should stay away from them.
Yes, yeah, so saturated fat and simple sugars have been associated with increasing metabolic syndrome, which is increased waist size, increased blood pressure, increased triglycerides, increased blood sugar, and increased LDL cholesterol. Those are things that are associated with diabetes and heart disease, and 68% is not a small association. That's a real sizable jump in your risk of that horrible disease. So that's why tell your kids no ramen noodles. If you want something quick for lunch, try a salad, not ramen noodles, because ramen noodles look like they are one of the causes of serious metabolic syndrome. Another article, going nuts over nuts. They lower all-cause mortality rates, dramatically improve your glucose control. So these are nuts, just a few ounces of nuts a week. In fact, it takes about an ounce a day, and whether it is Brazil nuts or cashews or any kind, they're especially monounsaturated fat has been liberalized in diabetic diets, So these cause a lower risk of all-cause mortality. How much a lower risk? It's a substantial amount of lower risk, and I'll come to that in just a second. But in addition, they improve the control of, if you will, your glucose control day in and day out. So if you're a diabetic, they're a great thing to add. And what they looked at was, in fact, an ounce a day is usually around 150 to 200 calories. They are anything from Brazil nuts to chestnuts to almonds. Even peanuts were included in this category, even though peanuts are a legume, meaning they're part of the bean family. You want to eat them, in these studies, you want to eat them without sugar or without salt coating. So you want them dry roasted or just unprocessed. The walnut people I know spend an awful lot of time making sure when they do get them dry roasted, they aren't at a high enough temperature so that it destroys the omega-3. So walnuts are the only nuts with omega-3. They spend a lot of time making sure that the plants that do roast them don't get them to such a high temperature as it ruins the fat. We're going to get at the bottom of the hour, of course. We're going to talk up to Dr. Jack Stern from the Cornell Weill Medical Center about five powerful steps to diagnose and understand and treat your ailing back. So we've gotten a couple of back questions already. I'm not going to give them to or try and answer them now since we have an expert coming on, but keep sending those questions. You can send questions, of course, anytime to udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. The other thing that came out this week is we're getting ready for flu shots and flu season and talking about flu and how to protect yourself. Obviously, hand washing and avoiding people with flu. But the best thing, of course, is getting the flu vaccine. Turns out it's about 70% effective. It's not 100% effective, but it was least effective in the elderly. And so they've come up with a greater dose of flu vaccine for the elderly. You shouldn't take this if you've ever had a serious reaction. Fluzone, the company that makes it, was the sponsor of the study. And they saw that if they gave a fourfold higher dose, four times the dose of the three most common, viruses that are most likely to attack this next year, they decreased the flu rates by 24% among participants who got the high dose. That is among the people over the age of 65 who got the high dose. So ask your doc. It's not a requirement, but ask your doc if you're over 65 to get the high dose vaccine. Now, when we come back, we're also going to talk about, let's talk about it now. Bridget, what about fish and mercury in pregnancy?
So this is a really interesting story, and it's definitely controversial. The FDA came out with new recommendations at the beginning of the summer, advising women to, saying that it was okay for pregnant women to consume tuna and mercury-containing fish at low levels. And a new article came out, was released by Consumer Reports, that actually opposes this recommendation and states that pregnant women should avoid all tuna, even light canned tuna, because their samples came back saying that it had twice as much mercury as what the FDA said is the average amount in tuna. The reasoning that they're saying that pregnant women should avoid it is because the brain undergoes series of complex developmental stages, and these should be completed in a certain sequence, and having high doses of the mercury in the fish interfere with this in the fetus, and it could potentially lead to permanent brain damage or growth and developmental damage. So the Consumer Reports is stating that all pregnant women should avoid tuna, and the FDA is saying that it's sticking to its guns.
When we come back, we'll talk more about back pain. We'll talk about back pain with Jack Stern. We'll talk more in the second hour with mercury and fish.